Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events on life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. After taking a week break for Christmas and taking another week to get over that sickness that's going around, it's great to be back at the mic in 2023. Imagine that, we've actually arrived at 2023. Seems like 2010 was just yesterday. The way time passes and we arrive at the future is just so surreal. But just as sure as we have arrived at 2023, we will arrive at the day of the Lord and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And all things prophesied will be fulfilled. This is the Christian hope. And we can't talk about it enough. 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. 1 Corinthians 1:7, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Critics will disparage churches that emphasize prophecy. And of course, some groups certainly have sensational, erroneous views of prophecy. But a spiritually healthy church will focus on prophecy as it was the focus of the early apostolic church. The coming of Christ is our hope. You know, I'm sure you've heard that slogan that some Christians are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. But to the contrary, unless you're heavenly minded, you'll be of no earthly good. So, 2023 started off with a bang. Literally, in the first minutes of 2023, Sunday morning, 12 a.m., Ukraine fired 6 U.S.-made long-range missiles at a Russian complex filled with new recruits. The Russians reported 63 casualties. But Russians never report the true numbers. Insiders say it could be as high as 400 Russian soldiers were killed. The worst one-day death toll for the Russians. We sorrow for those Russian young men who died and for their families. All because men covet other men's lands. The violation of the 10th commandment. And this is why soldiers and all people need to believe on Christ as Lord and Savior. Because time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Isaac Watts. Eternity is a long time to spend in hell. But as far as this world is concerned, don't underestimate what might escalate this year in this Ukrainian-Russian war. Even though the media is largely ignoring it, and focusing on Hollywood stars, sporting events, petty public grievances. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, when these people will be saying peace and safety, ignoring the situation, it's then that sudden destruction will come upon them. Another harbinger of what is to come is the groundwork being laid for the coming financial disaster. In the passing of a $1.7 trillion omnibus spending bill, right at the end of 2022, on December 29th, Biden signed the spending bill into law. Congress had to extend the debt ceiling and pass a budget to cover government expenses. And while they're doing this, rather than seeing the debt crisis America is in, how deficit spending is causing inflation, legislators decided not only to cover regular budgetary items, but to pile on additional spending. And the attitude is flippant. I mean, as long as you're going to go broke, you might as well keep on spending. What difference does it make whether we're $30 trillion in debt or $35 trillion in debt? Even 18 Republican senators went along with the Democrats. So, in the providence of God, those who are in charge of our nation have no fiscal restraint. They don't care. They simply want the money and the programs that they want. They don't believe they should be constrained by tax revenues. So as we have moral lawlessness in our country, LGBTQI+, there also follows economic lawlessness. As people don't believe they should be hindered by moral rules, they also don't believe they should be hindered by economic rules. And this too is a prophetic sign of the time. Matthew 24:12, lawlessness will increase. Every year, the Biden administration has added upon the budget huge extra spending bills. In March of 2020, as soon as Biden got into office, he passed the $1.9 trillion COVID relief package, which included much special interest spending that had nothing to do with COVID. Then in November of 2021, the Democrats passed a $1.2 trillion infrastructure spending bill. And then in August of 2022, they passed a $750 billion Inflation Reduction Act, which was really the Green New Deal renamed. And if one huge spending bill in 2022 was not enough, Congress slipped in this $1.7 trillion omnibus spending bill before the end of the year, before Congress becomes led by the Republicans in January. So there were two huge spending bills in 2022. Now, most people don't understand the magnitude of what's happening here. How the government is having to print an extra $1 trillion a year just to cover regular expenses. And then it turns around and prints another couple trillion on top of that to fund their constituents, to line the pockets of leftist socialist ideologues. Evil is parasitic. In the spending bill, $80 million is to support the migrants coming in on the southern border because the Democrats want an open border to flip red states blue. The bill prohibits any money being used on border security. In the bill, $1.2 million will be for LGBTQIA+ pride centers, $477,000 for an equity institute in Rhode Island to endow teachers with anti-racism virtual labs, $1 million for Zora's House in Ohio, a community space for women and gender-expansive people of color, $3 million for the American LGBTQ+ Museum in New York City, $3.6 million for a Michelle Obama trail in Georgia, $750,000 for LGBTQ and gender nonconforming housing in Albany, New York, $2 million for the Great Blacks and Wax Museum in Baltimore, $856,000 for an LGBTQ center in New York, $750,000 for a trans Latin coalition to provide workforce development programs and supportive services for transgender and gender nonconforming and intersex immigrant women in Los Angeles. So the Biden administration wants all that money sent to their ideologue supporters. It's a revolving door. Vote for us and we will give you government jobs and money. The sodomites have taken over the government, and they're funding their immoral religion with government money. But of course, the government can't afford this, but that doesn't matter to these people. They want what they want. So these people bankrupt America to get what they want. And this is what happens when a people are given over to degrading passions. Now, in addition to the Ukrainian war and federal deficit spending, there are other dark signs on the horizon. There are leaders with globalist visions just waiting for another crisis so they can consolidate power. The public is deluded by fears of climate change, COVID mass hysteria, all the while ignoring the real moral pollution in our day. There is unrest in China and Iran. Europe is being overrun with Islam while churches are closing. There is control and censorship in social media. American cities are no longer prosecuting crimes. Drugs are being decriminalized because punishment is now considered racist. The religion of humanism and scientism is spreading like wildfire. There are so many forces of evil that could easily be released upon the world tomorrow. And those of us who keep up with the news know that every week there's another story confirming these signs of the time. Here's just one story that I read that shows what's really happening in the culture. Parents in Massachusetts sue their school district for hiding their children's gender transition from them. The parents claim that school officials failed to inform them that their two children, an 11-year-old girl and a 12-year-old boy, were transitioning to a gender other than the one corresponding with their biological sex. The 11-year-old girl allegedly emailed school staff and announced that she wanted to go by a cluster of new pronouns. "I am gender queer," she wrote. "My new name will be such and such. If you dead name me or use any pronouns I'm uncomfortable with, I will politely tell you a list of pronouns that you can use. Please only use the ones that I've listed." Now, this is an 11-year-old girl. The school counselor then sent an email to staff ordering them not to tell her parents about this girl's gender identity change. And meanwhile, the girl's 12-year-old brother asked school staff to use female pronouns for him, and the staff hid that information from the parents. Of course, the parents were distraught and sued the school, but the school inserted themselves into the private realm of their family, violating their rights to make decisions regarding their children's upbringing, mental health, and well-being. But a U.S. federal judge ruled that the school district keeping the gender transitioning of their children secret does not, quote, shock the conscience, does not violate the rights of the parents, does not hurt the children's mental health or well-being. Because now the public and judges are basing moral values and laws upon their own feelings rather than the higher law of God. And you know where that leads. So that if the conscience of a judge or the public is seared, becomes immoral, all immorality is permitted, accepted, and celebrated. This is what happens when a nation, when the world abandons a belief or an allegiance to God. If there's no God, all things are permissible. Nobody seems to believe that, but God is about to show mankind where satanic humanism will lead. I believe what we're seeing in the 21st century is a great apostasy prophesied to take place at the end of this age. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That at the end of this age, which ends in the coming apocalypse, God will allow for a great outbreak of evil. Now, what I find fascinating is that also at the end of this age, God has allowed for technology never before imagined in the history of mankind. Everyone knows. Every news item, every cultural social moray is immediately available for people to see on their computer, on computers that they carry around in their pocket. Everyone's connected. Nobody can say, "I didn't know." The sin of man is clearly being put on a stage for everyone to see. This is the providence of God, and yet people do not repent of their sins. They relish it. And God is using this to inform and sanctify his church. We're supposed to be watching this train wreck. We're supposed to see where the devil is leading this world. So we value God and his truth all the more. And we're supposed to be a voice for truth, plucking a few souls out of the fire before the end. Now, let me get to the topic for today's program. Believe it or not, all I just shared was my introduction. Over the next few weeks, I would like to be doing a series called What the Church Needs to Hear. Truth that the church, God's people, need to understand and embrace as we enter this final dispensation of God. Now, I could just list them, but each truth deserves an entire program to explain. This whole topic came to my attention when a friend of mine who runs a pastor's network of Christian activists, asked me the question, what is the one main truth we should be telling our congregations given the times? He said that one pastor said to him, well, that's easy. The one truth we should be telling our congregations is that they need to get out and vote. Well, certainly Christians need to vote righteously, but spiritually, I believe we need to go much deeper than that. Now, of course, there are many biblical truths Christians need to hear. If we were to make a prioritized list, prayer, evangelism, and holy living would be on the top. But I'm talking about specific truths, given the prophetic signs of the time. In the book of the Revelation, the seven churches aren't told to just pray, evangelize, and lead holy lives. That's a given. But they're given specific instructions that were needful for the believers in that time and in that location. The church of Ephesus needed to be told to return to her first love. The church of Smyrna needed to be told to be faithful unto death. The church of Pergamum needed to be told to repent, for false doctrine was within, and so on. So in the same way, there are certain truths that the church in America needs to hear at this time. And to be honest, I'm not hearing these truths very often. Not that they're not being said by some church leaders, but these truths seem to be drowned out by self-help, prosperity gospel messages. In fact, some pulpits are even saying the opposite of the truths that I'm going to be sharing. So before I go on, ask yourself the question, given your knowledge of the Word of God, what message do you believe the church needs to hear in 2023? To hold on to the faith? To never compromise? To double down on evangelism? All true. But here's the first truth I put on my list. Number one, the church needs to know that in the last days, there will be a great outbreak of evil because God will remove his restraint on evil. And in this, I'm following the scripture because this is exactly what the Apostle Paul wanted the church to know and wanted the church to look for. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there will come a great apostasy before the man of lawlessness is revealed, a great rebellion against God's law. The man of lawlessness is being restrained now, but someday God's restraint will be taken out of the way. Then lawlessness and the man of lawlessness will come on the scene, and hence the day of the Lord. Now, this seems very straightforward and simple, but it's really not. I've been surprised how dismissive some Christian leaders have been toward this truth for various reasons, which I'll have to eventually explain. But it's not just that a great evil will break out at the end of this age. The point is that it'll come about because God is going to remove his restraint. And that's controversial. That's theologically radical. It will not come about because all of a sudden there will be more unsaved in the world and less saved. It will not come about because the church failed to be the salt and light it should be toward government. It will come about because God allows the evil that already exists in the hearts of men to be empowered, to be released, to be unrestrained. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 implies that God has been restraining evil in this world. Otherwise, the Antichrist and the coming apocalypse would have taken place in the first century. The fact that Christianity overturned the Roman Empire and has had a profound influence on the sinful world for the last 2,000 years has been a work of the Holy Spirit. It's because God has restrained the wicked, not because people have been getting better. And we must understand this lest the church, the Christians, begin to attribute the wrong causes and solution to the current moral decline in the West, as we're hearing from all sorts of pundits and podcasters. The church, God's people today, need a whole education in what the Bible teaches about the restraining power of God. Now, in the time left, let me share one biblical example of God's restraint, just to get us to think about this issue. And this will be the Bible study for today's program. We all know about the cycles in the book of Judges. Over a period of 300 years, from about 1400 BC to 1100 BC, There are about 12 cycles of religious apostasy followed by revival. The Israelites would be prosperous, and in their prosperity, they would forsake Jehovah God and turn toward idolatry and the licentious lifestyle associated with idolatry. That was the draw. But that would bring about trouble, economically, militarily, socially. So the Israelites would turn back toward Jehovah God. They would repent. There would be a conservative religious swing. And God would raise up a civic leader who would deliver them from their oppressors, the judges. Then the Israelites would again be happy and prosperous. And then the whole cycle would take place again. And what's important to note here is that God raised up foreign adversaries to occupy and oppress the Israelis. Judges chapter 3, verse 8, the Lord sold them into the hand of the king of Mesopotamia. Chapter 3, verse 12, the Lord strengthened the king of Moab against Israel. Chapter 4, verse 2, the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan. Chapter 6, verse 1, the Lord gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Chapter 10, verse 6, the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines. Now, what's this all about? Is God creating fresh evil in the hearts of these oppressors? No, from other texts of Scripture, it's evident that what God is doing is allowing Satan and the world to empower evil men. God is removing his restraint so that these greedy, power-hungry demagogues come to power so that evil will punish evil. Hitler would have simply been a second-rate painter if God didn't remove his restraint. Mao Zedong would have been a low-level manager in a shoe factory. Or Stalin would have been a criminal psychopath behind bars somewhere. But here's the point. Imagine if God did not restrain the sin of Israel with these oppressors during the period of the judges. If there were no Moabites or Midianites or Philistines to attack Israel for that period of 300 years, Israel would have become Sodom and Gomorrah. America, the West, has experienced the greatest prosperity the world has ever known. An unsaved man, prosperous and unrestrained, will become corrupt. Even with gospel influences, the presence of the church in the world, Ezekiel chapter 16, behold, this was the guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters had arrogance, abundant food, and careless ease. Thus they were haughty and committed abominations before me. This is what's happening in America, what's happening in the West. You ask, why doesn't God raise up adversaries against the ungodly in our generation? Sickness, misfortune, missed opportunities, mental dullness. God could, and he has done this for the last 2,000 years. But at the end of this age, God removes his restraint because God wants to show what is truly in the heart of man. The church needs to learn this truth so that we understand the sovereignty of God in our current situation. So that we see that Christ is the one in charge of providence, and that he is the Savior, not man. And it's not what we can do, but Christ who comes as a deliverer. I'm out of time. I will continue this in my YouTube and Rumble version of this program at the channel God and Country Biblical Exposition. You can get all of those links at my website, godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Keep growing in love and in all discernment. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, lead us into all truth. Help us to know what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.